So that's a scene in Monrovia, the Liberian capital. You can imagine how scarce accurate information is outside Monrovia. Government and health officials there have found one way, though, to reach out to people in those more isolated areas: radio. Our producer Leo Hornack often looks at the many ways radio is used around the world, and he's been finding out how radio has become a weapon during the Ebola crisis. Leo joins us now from London. What are you hearing, Leo?
Well, I mean, the thing is, for in much of West Africa, Liberia, Sierra Leone, all the places which are affected worst by Ebola, radio is an incredibly important tool for all kinds of messages. And it's one of the only ways in which people have a sense of what's going on in the outside world and of messages. I mean, unlike TV, which requires a pretty constant electricity supply, radio can use with batteries. Unlike newspapers, which require literacy, or internet news or online news, which also require literacy, radio, you don't really need much more than a small, fairly cheap set and to be able to switch it on. So radio is the go-to for trying to spread awareness and trying to combat the kind of conspiracy theories and myths that your previous speaker was talking about. And I'd just like to play you one of the ways in which people are attempting to fight these myths, and that is through music. There has been a whole slew across the whole of the region of songs officially produced and by local artists trying to raise awareness of the fact that Ebola is real. Here's one of them. Ebola is real. Let's protect
ourselves and our family. Yeah, all the right messages are there, Leo. Protect ourselves. That sounds right. But talk a bit about the tone, because it's either sounding unnecessarily cheerful or slightly let's join hands and up with the people. What is the tone that people are hearing?
Well, I think this is partly a cultural thing, Marco. I mean, to sort of Western ears, that sounds like quite a cheerful and positive song. And I think that there's a mix there, because they want people not only to get these very, very serious messages: the virus exists, do not touch dead bodies, even if their loved ones at a funeral, do not touch the dead body. These kind of messages, which are very, very sort of distressing messages. But they have to be done in such a way that people are interested to hear them. And they have to be done in such a way that they're going to make it into the top 40 charts in these countries. And so that's why I think, as an outsider, that there feels like maybe a bit of a mismatch. But I've been listening to these radio stations in Liberia and Sierra Leone over the last few days, and the people phoning in don't see it that way at all. People on their phone-in shows, their DJs, they're seeing this as a very powerful message and a very important message, which some of their listeners are agreeing with, but maybe not all the people who are hearing this have yet got this message.
So the composers of these songs, I mean, how do they go about actually creating a user-friendly message for a disease that's killed 1,000 people or more than 1,000 people?
Well, it's done with great care, actually, Marco. I mean, I spoke to Musa Sangeria, who of BBC Media Action, which is a charity funded partly by the BBC. And he is one of the people in Sierra Leone who is in charge of designing these messages and spreading them out to rural radio stations in particular. He explained to me that they'd even thought about the kind of voices they would use in these songs. Here's Musa.
We decided to have a female voice on the PSEs because we realized that it helps to provide some form of reassurance to people who are listening. And given the fact that the virus has largely affected women to a large extent because they are primary caregivers, so you want to use a voice that most people who are seriously affected could be able to identify themselves with.
So as he was saying, it's even the choice of voice for these PSAs, as he calls them, public service announcements, has been very carefully thought through. And there is a grim story even to that kind of thing, because, as he was saying, unfortunately, it is predominantly women who end up caring for the sick and therefore are at greatest risk.
Leo Hornack in our office at the BBC in London. Thank you very much.
No problem, Marco.
For more of our coverage of the Ebola outbreak in West Africa, visit our special Twitter feed. Our Human Needs team shares the latest global health and development reporting from our newsroom and beyond. To follow, just go to twitter.com/PRI Human Needs.